Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Jeffrey, this is a pod. This is the Olafil's Fantasy Podcast, a somber week one. Well, I guess week two we're leading up to right now. Tomorrow there's already more football, tomorrow being Thursday. And Jeff, I just want to start this off by saying condolences to you and myself just on just terrific starts in fantasy. We are the experts after all. That's why the people clamor for the pod, they clamor for us. They clamor to come and just get our thoughts on our Twitter, at ATF Fantasy. And by the way, friends, families, there's something we've never asked you to do, and that is to, you know, click the little five-star button on the old iTunes of or whatever podcast host, listener, client of your choice. You know, just get a little five stars, a little review. There's still the same three reviews that we've had for the last 3 years. There's a Fine Good Job Sir is one of them. I think that's either Scotty or Sam Hahn. So thank you for those back in the day. But we need people to do that, you know. Give us a little review, the clicks, download, don't even listen, we don't care, just give us the subscriptions, rate and review. That rigmarole out of the way, Jeff. I hope you had a good week one in terms of watching and just seeing your fantasy players crap the bed every which way. And I'm wishing a very, very much better week two to you. So how are you doing today so far?
You know, I'm still reeling a bit from the ship. I think we both had awful experiences in that league, the main league, our league of record, if you will. My expectations for that team were a bit lower than yours. Mm-hmm. You were starting off, I believe, at top of the old power rankings. We'll get into that a little bit later in the episode. It was just really nice, though, to have football on Sunday. I will say two big issues, I didn't even note this on the rundown, with week one outside of the football experience. First of all, I don't have cable. Let me scratch that. I have basic cable, mm-hmm. So I have non-HD channels 1 through 11. So I can still get the nationally televised games. But I had I won't even say it's sneaky. I just had a way to get access to Red Zone and every game I wanted streaming online. So I wake up Sunday, I'm like, let's get this Red Zone going. Those sites have been shut down. Those Reddit channels have been blocked now. And I'm at the whims of the ingenuity of the internet, which is never a good sign, really. Bring it back to me. You know, recreate it, remorph, rechange. You know, I'm willing to get more sneaky. I almost thought about, you know, reactivating cable or switching to DirecTV or something. I don't know what I was thinking. It was a desperation move, but it was also stymied a little bit, the afternoon games in particular, because we had to do a photo shoot in like 90 degree weather with a 2-year-old who wanted nothing to do with it. So that was fun. Also found out that the Chargers get broadcast on 98.7, which is an alternative rock station out here in Southern California.
Is that Jack
so
FM?
Didn't get to. Yes, wow. Yes, and you get Daniel Jeremiah and
who's
and,
that?
Yeah, I don't know, and then some other guy, money.
Yeah, money.
Mad Money is on there too. So I did get to listen to the. If watching the Chargers isn't a painful experience, I mean listening is definitely a painful experience. Ugh. So that is a lot of. No bueno for week one, but it's early. Things are changing. Things are coming into more focus. You know, expectations are becoming clearer. And, you know, I felt pretty good about my Raft pool and my work league performance. DraftKings, I didn't go super heavy. I didn't have the time to invest in the research. So I came out even, played a couple of 50-50s, two different lineups, won one, lost the other. So not too bad on that front. Did watch the Cowboys-Rams. And you said you fell asleep. It wasn't exactly an exciting game, I guess. There weren't a ton of big plays. It was just kind of a methodical slog, I felt like, from both teams. Long drives. Nothing too crazy, though.
First half was good. I mean, the Cowboys, I think, scored almost all their points in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. I think they only scored 3 points in the second half.
Yep.
So watch the first half, and then pretty much, I think, the second the clock ticked to zero for the second quarter, Ashley and I fell asleep on the couch. I woke up with about, I want to say, 45 seconds left in the game where the Cowboys had to do a miracle 80-yard drive, right? I'm trying to remember exactly what happened at the end of the game with no shot. Oh, and I do remember the Gallup pass interference BS. Which I'm not, you know, not for that.
There were other calls that I think the Cowboys got lucky on, too.
Ah, of course, of course. But, yes, fell asleep during that. It's very concerning, considering I had four Cowboys in my DraftKings lineup.
Mm.
Started out strong, too. I mean, I had a Dak Zeke, you know, stack touchdown in the first quarter. And then CeeDee Lamb, I think, was getting targeted a lot in the beginning. But then, just alas, fell asleep because the Rams are not exciting to me. That offense was very boring, and their defense, I mean, Aaron Donald was great. But anyways, just fell asleep during that game. But with your troubles in the TV atmosphere, I guess you didn't get to really appreciate how awesome it is with no fans. Hearing the offenses talk and the defenses talk while they're out on the field is something that needs to be heard, Jeffrey. So whether you do it legally, illegally, shady or not, you need to experience it before fans start being allowed back in stadiums. Hearing Tom Brady and Drew Brees talk to their wide receivers or tight ends or offensive linemen while they're at the line is amazing. Hearing, I don't know if you caught the end of the Bengals-Chargers game in any highlights at all. There is a video going around of when the Bengals kicker misses that kick. You could hear either the Bengals defense or the Bengals coaches yelling at the ref as soon as he misses it. And it's outstanding. It's like, how the bleep could you make that call, you bleeping bleep? And it's just going off. But it's not bleeped because it's just live mics. It is exciting just how close the mics are and how much you can hear. So that really made the experience great for the weekend. In terms of just fantasy-wise, we'll get into all that nonsense later. Not a good week for any of my three teams. Well, I did win in Raft Pool, but it wasn't very convincing, and I happened to go against the lowest score in the league, Scotty. So I got lucky on that. So you haven't watched any TV recently that I've watched. You haven't watched the new episode of The Boys. You haven't watched new episode of Ted Lasso. So we don't need to get into that. Just know that The Boys I am down on. Ted Lasso I am up on. The Boys got real weird. I'm just going to say that. There's a real weird like 5 minutes. And when I think Greg and whoever can bag me up on this. It incredibly weird. But I want to get into one thing before we actually get into football, because it'll be long. A lot of football today.
Yeah.
But I want to get into some video games real quick, because you are part of the official Taco Bell, just free Xboxes every day kind of thing. You're into that.
Yep.
Your office, notably six or 7 years ago before you were there, all got free Xboxes or whatever during this promotion. Yeah. What do you know so far, not in Taco Bell terms, but just in terms of the Xboxes? What are you aware of? What's going on? They released all their info last week. Are you intrigued at all by any of the great names of the Xbox Series S, the Xbox Series X? Anything stand out to you with these? I know times are tight and no one's going out and running out and spending money on these things, especially since everything is still capable for what we use them for. But give me what you know so far, or your lack of knowledge on it.
Yeah, it's gonna tend more to the lack of knowledge. I mean, you lay it out for me. Like, what are the big things? Just like the graphics are better, and I assume there's like the online experience is better. I'm not sure what it's kind of hard at this point unless we're making a jump to like VR or AR enhancements. Like it's just going to keep getting faster, more detailed, better gameplay experiences. I feel like that's about as much as it can go. And you know me, I always lean towards the cheaper version.
Of course.
Are they taking a page out of the Tesla book with just the Series X, the Series S? Like, I just think it's, you know, I mean, I guess PlayStation like 6 or whatever we're on, a 5 isn't going to be that much more creative, but
yeah, but at least you know that you're getting the new one with all these names for the Xbox. A little confusing. I will just give you the layman's terms, since pretty much this is what I know anyway. If you want to go cheaper with the Series S, only $299, solid. So solid. I mean, that's how much, you know, like a regular new Xbox was recently. It's going to have no disc drive, so you're going to go all digital with that one, all streaming. And it is going to be less powerful than the $499 beast Xbox Series X. It's just going to not going to be able to go full on 4K, which who even needs that half the time? But you'll be able to play all the next gen games and all that. Whatever's released, you'll be part of that ecosystem. You just won't get the 4K, you won't get the disc drive, you'll have a smaller hard drive, which, to be honest, is kind of weird since you're going all digital. With the Series S, you're going to want that mammoth of a hard drive, right? So you'll probably have to expand it yourself and just buy like a portable hard drive to attach to it. But the reason I bring this up is because the PlayStation 1 now, of course, these consoles are supposed to come out in 2 months. These next gen. And the Xbox finally released their info last week. And it's like, if we're going to be spending money in 2 months, shouldn't we know what's going on? So PlayStation, of course, now is today, after we record, going to be announcing all their stuff. So they'll be, the assumption is they're also going to do something similar to what the Xbox is. Hey, here's a PlayStation 5 normal, and then here's a PlayStation 5 with no discs as well. But that's just kind of teasing as to what's going to happen with the next gen. But I'm set. I'm content. I'd rather spend money, and I already have. We spent money on this kitchen and the house. These Xboxes that I have in the house are going to last for a while. There's no reason to jump foray into the next gen. There's nothing we're missing out on, Jeff. And I don't think you're gonna dive headfirst. The Disney Plus for Kellen is all he needs.
He's good to go
on that Xbox. Jeff, I forgot one thing I want to tell you about too, really quick. I have one question for you. So you're in Orange County. So correct. I'm trying to think. 5 hours away. Well, what would be 5 hours away? Like San Luis Obispo is like 4 or like 3. Santa Barbara's like 3. 4. Okay.
5 Mammoth is like Mountain. Mammoth.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to go Mammoth. Okay. How much would it cost, or how much would you be willing to take to drive to Mammoth for like an Uber or something like that? Like, you know, like how much would it take to pay you?
10 hours essentially of driving.
Mm-hmm. Remember, the way back is free unless you get someone to. Wants to drive back to Orange County.
Yeah. So 10 hours of driving. I don't know, 250.
Ooh, wow. I thought I was going to aim a little higher. I was going to say at least 300. Well, I was driving Uber this morning, and I get a Ooh. Notification, and it says, you know, do you accept? You know, just says accept. It says long trip. So all it says, long trip, 45 minutes plus. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. You can do that. Maybe an hour. Be excited. Never done that before. Get back in time for the pod. You know?
Yep.
So I click it, accept. I'm on my way to pick up the person. I get a text from the person saying, hey, just letting you know, this is Joe, but you're actually picking up my girlfriend, whatever. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the warning, at least. But I'm like, you know what? That's kind of weird. No one's really ever done that before. Usually you just show up and the person's like, oh, yeah, that's my boyfriend's account. Or, oh, yeah, that's my girlfriend's account.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, they're in the chatty mood. Let me give them a little question. So I said, hey, long trip. I said, no worries. Long trip, though, right? question mark. Typing. So I'm almost there, by the way. I'm like 2 minutes away from picking up this person. Respond, yes, the address is like 7057 Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, my.
That is a 6-hour drive for me.
Oh, my.
So I'm thinking in my head.
Nashville.
Probably. I'm already like, how am I going to cancel this? And I'm just thinking also. So it's a it's about $300. It's what it says, like the max you get on a trip anyway. So whatever.
Yeah.
But then the thoughts are racing in my head. Like, not only am I taking a stranger 6 hours one way, it's not even the stranger's account.
Yeah.
So I already was like, the light bulbs, or, you know, the spidey senses was kind of going on. And of course wouldn't be able to record a pod, but
no.
You know, would $300 be nice in the pocket? Yes, but who knows who I'm even taking and where I'm going. So I had to cancel. Like, the second day, I just had to find how to cancel, and I had to give a reason. I was like, no reason. Just not happening. So
yeah.
Very sketch situation I may have avoided, Jeff. And you know what? I may have even, who knows, may have even gotten injured on there, Jeff.
Ooh, I like what you did there. Want to get a... A quick question.
Ooh.
Like, what does this person? I mean, maybe they're not 25, but
that's
like,
you could
rent a car for like
one way,
a third of the price of this Uber. I mean, I don't get that. Maybe they're youngins. That always was difficult, because you kind of like you do. You want to just do it for a few hours, but you have to be open to taking any ride, right? And it always seemed to me like. I was like, okay, one more, and then I pick it up, and it's like, oh, you're going to Compton, which is like 45 an hour away, and it's like, great, because it's impossible to find people who, you know, want to come back in the same direction. But alas, injuries galore. You know, Big Ben feels like he's been in a car accident. We were talking Uber, but. I don't know. Is it always like this? Is this kind of the manifestation of COVID and the lack of training camps? A lot of soft tissue injuries, people going out in the game. I don't know how you felt, Will, but the games that I watched, which granted weren't that many, I didn't feel like they were super sloppy. Like, I felt like there were definitely some boneheaded moves, but there's always some boneheaded moves. And I don't know. There were definitely some people who weren't connecting. You know, the play calling and the people understanding the plays wasn't great, but I was expecting worse. So maybe my expectations were too low, but they were definitely not this low on the injury front. I mean, fantasy big name after big name, pretty much. I don't know. A lot of, some of these guys weren't second round picks, but you have first and second round picks going out week one. No bueno.
I agree with you on the sloppiness part. I mean, yeah, there was plays where Tom Brady overthrew. There was a play where Tom Brady overthrew Mike Evans, and they didn't know the route to run. But I think football didn't suffer. But yeah, the stars and you just added another name, so we can talk about these two: Mike Evans and Kenny Galladay. These are two who weren't even, and Cortland Sutton. Three people who. Either weren't even expected to play week one, or Mike Evans, he played but didn't really do anything. He did catch a touchdown, but that was his only catch, and it was 2 yards. The other two, Kenny Galladay and Cortland Sutton, and they got injured in practice and just never even had a shot of playing in week one. I think that's what you're just really going to see. And these are all players we're typing out right now, fantasy-relevant players. We're not even talking about defensive players, offensive linemen, defensive backs. The tons of people who have gotten injured already that just don't make sense to mention on a fantasy podcast. And yeah, these are all big names. James Conner, Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack, you can make an argument, not the biggest of names, but he was a starter. Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton, Le'Veon Bell, Michael Thomas, Kenny Galladay. And you said it. They may not all be second-round picks, but they're all first through fourth-round picks easily.
Yeah.
All had... Four. Yeah, and all had impact and make an impact, especially someone like Marlon Mack, who now, of course, the Jonathan Taylor truthers come out in droves because now they made an amazing pick, unless you know, one of those players took him in the first round, but you got that Jonathan Taylor pick in your third round, and all of a sudden you look like a genius. This is part of a pandemic, and fantasy, you know, relevance aside, like, people had question marks about certain players, but it's just sometimes not fair, Jeff. And I'm going to say one thing that's not fair. The first three names, James Conner, Marlon Mack, and Mike Evans, are on one of my teams. Literally all three of them I have on my third league, a 10-team, two-quarterback league. My team was James Conner, Joe Mixon, Marlon Mack. And Marlon Mack actually started instead of Mike Evans, yep, because I thought Mike Evans wasn't going to play. More or less, they both scored the same amount of points, 6 points. But James Conner got me a little pooper. Marlon Mack, Mike Evans. It's just an epidemic, a pandemic, and hopefully all these players, you know, make a good recovery, except, you know, Marlon Mack, who's done for the entire year. Michael Thomas, though, I think that one kind of came out of nowhere, Jeff. I think you added him in this morning because he is expected to miss, a couple weeks now. They have Emmanuel Sanders. The Saints do. I don't know if there was someone really. Are people picking up, was it Tre'Quan Smith, I believe? Something like that. Something Smith.
Yeah. I don't know what the play is there.
Tre'Quan. Yeah. So, unfortunate for Michael Thomas and all them first and second round picks there, Jeff. But, oh well. Time to move on and set your sights forward. The waivers are done for some leagues, and we'll get into who we were targeting in fantasy-wise. But let's keep this going with the news and just kind of a recap of what happened, because it's time. I don't know why I wrote Tuesday. Today's Wednesday. Overreaction Wednesday, Jeff. I want to pat ourselves on the back on this first bullet, because I said this. And this part I could have, I kind of teed behind the kimono here, peek behind the kimono. I wanted to kind of replay some stuff from last year as a trick, just because of just how stuff repeats over and over again. And it's a little bit different. I listened to last year's pod, and as I mentioned to you, Jeff, little different teams won and stuff. But the one thing that I said to kind of lead off the pod last year, and I wish I kind of snuck it into this one, was, I wish I would listen to the advice I give to other people. Does that make sense? So,
take your own advice.
I mean, well, I give advice for myself, which is awful, but then I tell other people, hey, you know, the Washington football team might be sneaky good. You should probably pick them in like a teaser or like a parlay or a suicide pool or something crazy, because I think they're going to beat the Eagles. You know who I wouldn't pick? I probably wouldn't pick the Colts, because they're kind of – the Jaguars might be that team that kind of sneaks up on people, and the Colts are that darling where it's like, oh, Rivers is going. He's got some stuff in the tank. Nah, I'd stay away from them. They're six-point favorites. That's crazy. But what did I do? I picked the Colts in a suicide pool, and I started the Eagles special teams and defense. So just, you know, let's just kind of – I could have totally just not done that, so – I'm proud of us, though, for talking about this Washington football team. They were going to be exciting to watch for one reason or another, either a dumpster fire or they're going to surprise some people. And, Jeff, it's the latter. They surprise some people. Very exciting for them.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to see the Eagles go down. I mean, NFC East is, again, going to be a trash division. So that's the one positive, even after the Cowboys lose. Washington football team. I didn't get to watch any of the game. I heard Dwayne Haskins was still a nightmare, so I'm sure that won't be great for their prospects. But I was, you know, they have this little stat tracker on the Yahoo app. I don't know if you've seen this. It's kind of interesting. You can essentially game cast every game that's live, and it calls out your players in it, which is interesting. And so I had, you know, Ertz in that game, so I was keeping some tabs, and I was like, oh, Eagles are up 17-0. Time to start running the ball. Get out of this game with their W. Then you kind of just see Washington just creep back into it, creep back in it, and take the W. So long-term prospects, you know, they're a team that's going to be sneaky. I think they're they're a team that could win a few games here and there. I think you said they're going to make the playoffs. No, okay, you didn't go that far. Which is good. But
no, the two cat teams that I predicted to make the playoffs, the Bengals and Lions, both lost with 0 seconds left. So
yeah, not great. Yeah. Not great on both.
not a good start to them.
Yeah, Matt Stafford kind of.
But if we want to overreact, I think that Washington defense is great. Yep. Their defensive line has about 3 first-round picks on them. You know, Chase Young being the new addition, who dominated that Eagles patchwork offensive line. But if we're going to overreact, I mean, their offensive strategy of 3 different running backs getting looks worked for them. Haskins, I mean, I wouldn't call it a nightmare. He started out, I think, 4-for-12 or something like that, but the second half, they had Ron Rivera getting an IV, and which stands for intravenous or something. I don't even know what it stands for, something like that. Didn't know that.
Intravenous fluids.
Yeah.
Didn't know that?
No, sorry, man. The more you know. And Dwayne Haskins is the one who led the halftime speech. So there you go. So good for that football team. What else we got, Jeff, on the overreaction front, and what are you buying?
Lot of haters in the offseason on quarterbacks who don't run. Mm. And I think Josh Allen proved, you know, why that skepticism was there. But there was one I think we were both on. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, you know, future Hall of Famer. He looked on fire. I mean, yeah, they ran the ball a lot, but he was super efficient. Davante Adams, oh boy, he is going to be – I have no shares of him, and yeah, he looks great. Just him and the connection with him and Rodgers, he always seemed open. Big plays, short plays, used everywhere, targeted a bunch. He probably could have had 3 TDs in that game. I think, yeah, you know, I put 30 TDs. That's probably not possible, but I wouldn't be surprised if he scored at least one every week, the way Rodgers was slinging that ball around. And I mean, he's got to be a top 12 quarterback every week now, which was sad that he was like going at quarterback 18 or something like that. Come on, folks. You know the potential.
Did you see how many different people ran the ball for the Packers?
It was insane.
Seven.
It was insane.
7 different rushes. Like, and not even Lazard had a run. Boyle, isn't he a tight end? He had a run. Dylan Williams, Tyler Irvin, and then of course Aaron Jones all had runs. Davante Adams was targeted 17 times.
Jeez. Yeah.
So there you go. Feed the monster, on pace to score 32 touchdowns. So you're not off with that one. David Johnson, 2016 David Johnson, former draft pick of your boy here, back when he was a rookie. I think I drafted him like the 5th round, you know, obviously way back then. Great showing from him. I guess we can kind of combine him with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the noted hater of this pod. Both those running backs really showed off on Thursday night last week. So I guess, I mean, not an overreaction, right? I mean, Clyde Edwards should have gone first overall.
Yeah, right. I mean, when you have lanes that big and they're spreading the ball around that much and, you know, you're getting 6 chances at the goal line and not converting any, I mean, should be drafted first overall. You know, I think the skepticism was warranted. It wasn't a risk that I was willing to take on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he looked good. He looked strong. He looked at capable NFL running back. You know, how much of it is the system and opportunity and how much is the talent is one thing, which kind of leads to long-term sustainability, but I won't go first overall, but I think, you know, if he continues how he did week one, he will definitely pay off on his draft value. And David Johnson, I think, was probably a steal. I mean, as long as he stays healthy, I mean, the Texans really missed DeAndre Hopkins, it looks like. So
yeah, I mean, Will Fuller he filled up the stat sheet, but it was a lot of third and fourth quarter stuff. They had chances, though. I mean, Texas Jew, Kenny Stills had a couple chances that he either dropped or got called back on penalty. I think just to go up – the Texans, I mean, honestly, what a – they play the Chiefs, now they play the Ravens. I mean, talk about a way to go 0-2 and still be, like, in it. So we can really overreact to the Texans after the first 2 weeks. And maybe you'll be able to buy low on certain players on the Texans if they start out 0-2 and don't really perform up to certain expectations after their game against the Ravens. Kareem Hunt, 13 rushes. Nick Chubb, 10. I mean, almost cussed her. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I just feel like it was a lot of game script.
Yeah.
I mean, they were down big. I still don't get. I feel like Chubb can catch the ball. And I feel like in the first half it was closer. Chubb was out touching him. It was close to 50-50, but he was still out touching him. I think better days ahead for Chubb. This is pure overreaction. And we always knew Hunt in the right situation. Right game script was going to be a flex worthy player on a week to week basis. So I think it was a little bit frightening to see the end, you know, the stat sheet and where the touches ended up. But yeah, I don't think every game, and I guess we'll see Thursday, you know, going up against the Bengals.
Yeah, just a day away. Can't wait for that. Thursday Night Football, two number one overall picks. And one of those teams is going to be 0-2, and it's going to be doom and gloom ahead. And I had no idea that, I mean, I did, but Baker Mayfield's already on his fourth coach. That's pretty amazing.
Oof. Yeah, not great. Another one who, you know, had some hype, and I don't know how much of it was coaching, and we talked about a little pre-pod. Austin Ekeler, I think he got one target, no catches. Or maybe one catch. Tyrod Taylor not doing the dump-off specials that Phillip Rivers employs regularly. He looked okay, though. They are just going to be a tough team to watch. I thought they would be better offensively with some of the moves they made on the offensive line. That hasn't proved. But Chargers defense is fierce. Austin Ekeler. The other running backs being involved didn't scare me as much. He was clearly the top dog and just getting spelled regularly, which I feel like is good for a player of his size. So, you know, get him involved in the passing game, people. I mean, they gotta move the ball down the field better. So hopefully Anthony Lynn takes some notes and gets in that QB room and says, hey, look at Ekeler. He's open.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Justin Jackson was kind of the backup, but they drafted Josh Kelly from UCLA and he had a touchdown. Touchdown run. They got to the goal line. They put Josh Kelly in. Ekeler, he was definitely in the game more. I think he had 14 carries. Not exactly sure how many, his exact stat line. But people have been now this is when the research comes out, right? After week one, after fantasy drafts have been done, now all of a sudden it's, oh, by the way, when Tyrod Taylor was in Buffalo with Anthony Lynn, he targeted his running backs 5% of the time. And his running back, you know, he had LeSean McCoy during that time. So that would have been nice to know a week and a half ago. And Phillip Rivers going to the Colts, it's, oh yeah, by the way, did you know that he targets his running backs 40% of the time? Cool, I guess that means someone like Nyheim Hines should have been drafted higher since he's their third down back. And going back to Ekeler, oh, maybe he won't be relied upon as much as Tyrod Taylor and with Tyrod Taylor. And someone else brought up Keenan Allen versus Mike Williams. Tyrod Taylor, very safe with the ball, as everyone knows, going back to his time with the Bills and even that short time with the Browns. Keenan Allen is not a big target. He's the guy that you need to be timed with and get those passes into coverage, tight coverage, and just rely on Keenan Allen to catch those passes. Well, Tyrod Taylor doesn't really like to take chances. So he's going to throw to Mike Williams more because Mike Williams is just big and just a big target, fast guy that can battle with a corner, where Keenan Allen is going to be that dude who has to rely on timing and quickness and faith from your quarterback, even if he looks covered. So that might be another one that Keenan Allen might not be the greatest Tyrod Taylor receiver. So must be nice to get all this stuff after fantasy drafts, but you know, it's only been one game for all these teams, and I think we're gonna know more. And week one week a fantasy season does not make. I believe Jeff Hutchins loves to say that, It's all about the waiver wire. It's all about adjusting and keeping either do you keep your studs in or do you already rely on these guys you're picking up and just what you've seen based on 1 week of action. Jeff, a lot of big weeks from certain players. So you wrote one I thought was kind of interesting. You wrote Chubb. But who did we target in our drafts and missed out on? And I have three that I tried getting in a lot of leagues and never really did. And that is Aaron Rodgers, Juju, and Adam Thielen. I tried getting Juju in a lot of leagues. In fact, what really bums me out is in the ship, I was going to take Juju. But then for some reason, Odell Beckham was there. And I thought, oh, wow, what a steal. I'm going to get Odell Beckham in the fourth round on the, you know, on the turn when I would normally take Juju. So, you know, that kind of backfired for 1 week. For 1 week, Juju had an amazing game. He got 24 points. Odell, I think, had two, maybe 3 points. But any players that had huge week ones that you were trying to get in drafts but never did. So, in other words, players that you thought were going to have a great season, you just missed out on.
Yeah, so I think I wrote Chubb for that second statement, right? Didn't have a big week one. I was trying to target him. I was just never picking in back halves of drafts, so I could never get him in that end of first round or turn to second. I still think he's going to have a good year. Thielen, another one that I always feel like I just missed out, like he was either just picked before me or just went after. Although I think his stat line is a little bit misleading. He had a big first half, then kind of disappeared, except for kind of the last minute touchdown, which saved his week. But one guy I am sad I do not own anywhere is Josh Jacobs. Mm-hmm. I feel like he was just a beast in the game, putting up big numbers. Good times ahead for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, they really the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, think they play Monday night coming up in Las Vegas. Can't wait to watch that in the Death Star. Does that have a name yet? Because I think it looked.
I don't know, but that's a great name. Death Star is great,
especially since they love the. I'm sure there's trademark somewhere. Although it's on Monday Night Football. Death Star is Star Wars. Star Wars owned by Disney. Disney owns Monday Night Football. That should work, at least for Monday night.
Ooh.
Yeah, bring it around town. All right, Jeff, we've talked about players. We've talked about kind of just overreacting to certain things. But the meat and potatoes here, our teams, our leagues, how did we do? Are we proud of our decisions that we've made? And did we target anyone with fab? Big reveal Magnifico in the ship, and of course Rapul. We've always used Fab. Anyone that we targeted. Let's just start with the ship. Garbage for me. Nick Chubb, Mark Ingram. Oh my! I mean, ugh.
That was bad.
Yeah, not that J.K. Dobbins did much more, but he did get the goal line action, which was just a whole nother thing, but that's the ship for me. I just think it was garbage. 80-something points, of course, projected to get 114. Players did not perform to any expectation. The only one who performed, two players, Ben Roethlisberger and Christian McCaffrey. So bigger times ahead for sprinting to T-Mobile. Jeff, how did your team in the ship do?
Yeah, it wasn't great. On the ship, only put up 86.
Oh, we are the least scoring team and the third least scoring team in our leagues.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, Le'Veon Bell getting injured.
Yep.
But he was getting stuffed before that at Buffalo. Zach Ertz getting massively out-targeted by Dallas Goedert, although they were the two top targets on the team. Like we talked about before, Eckler not getting any touches. Saquon just getting absolutely stuffed and smothered by the Steelers. He still looked good. Chark really saved his day. He had, I think, three receptions and one touchdown for 25 yards. So that could get risky. We had the Mike Evans worry, so I moved in Landry. That it wasn't terrible. Landry still outscored him. It was only 8 points. But and then... And then Stafford actually didn't have a bad day. He I think he had – there was a last-minute touchdown that went through someone's hands. So that could have put him over 20. But, yeah, it's not great when you go against Bluey, who – his team did not fare much better. I mean, he had James Conner. He pretty much rode Deshaun Watson, Juju, and Zeke over to victory. But I think there are definitely some question marks on the ship team, which I talked about preseason, that haven't necessarily been alleviated after week one.
So – something that I didn't really think about, I guess injured reserve you can do for 3 weeks this season.
Yep.
So Le'Veon Bell is officially on IR, but they said he could be back week five. So I guess I didn't really read into that too much this season. When all these players are going on IR, I guess they can come back after 3 weeks. So something to keep an eye on. Yeah, the ship, great. Waivers, we'll talk about in a second, but the Raft Pool League, a two-quarterback, for the most part, PPR league, supposed to be high-scoring, not great in terms of my output. I only scored 124 points. I did get the win, but I mentioned in the introduction, I went up against Scott, who only put up 88 points. So I was not high on this team. As we talked about last week, I got auto-drafted half the picks. But, hey, I ended up winning, and maybe I should just auto-draft from here on out, Jeff. So, Raft Pool, I am 1-0, but not happy still with really this team. Stafford, I have on this team, they just did not look good, the Lions. So, we'll see what happens next week. Projected to score 130 somehow. MVP was Jameson Crowder on my bench, though. I mean, 25 Ooh. Points, my God.
Yeah, once they were just dumping it off and Lev Bell was out, and, yeah, Crowder kind of took over. I like the Raft Bowl team is going to be good. Mm. You know, is it a championship team? I don't know. Kamara's got to show up a little bit more.
Yeah, your team is insane.
You know, liked the number of times. I mean, how could you not love the target share for DeAndre Hopkins? Allen Robinson super involved. Gurley getting those goal line touches, so I think he'll put up. And then the bench. I mean, we got Scary Terry and Kareem Hunt not even in the lineup, and Cam Newton,
running back
Cam with Newton. The rushing. Yeah, rushing. Him and Josh Allen would be good there. So not too happy. Not too many moves to make. Just the normal kind of streaming stuff. Give me an update on our best ball team. I can't imagine it was great.
Well, we're not in last. So we'll just start off there. Awesome. Not in last. Awesome. We are in second to last. We put up 131 points. Or sorry, 132 points. But only 1 point behind the person ahead of us with 133. I mean, as a team, we have some great players. Aaron Rodgers crushed it. Derrick Henry, just the volume made him really good. Other than that, a lot of disappointing players. Chris Carson did pretty good, but we have Austin Eckler on this team. Austin Eckler only gave us 9.7 points. So, like, for those that don't know, again, we are in a best ball league, so it automatically puts in the best points possible. So just to give you thoughts on this, Cooper Kupp didn't even make our final roster because he only got 8 points. Yeah. That's not great. But other than that, our stars performed at least better than everybody else. Gesicki somehow got us 7.5 points. But Eckler, 9.7. You can't have a 9.7. in your best ball. No. So that should get better. Chark only got us 11. Diggs got us 16.6. Henry got us 16. But our stud was Aaron Rodgers, who got us 34. So, you know, bigger and better times ahead for our team. I mean, I think our quarterback situation is great with Rodgers and Minshew. I mean, Minshew had a great game. So if Rodgers ever does have a stinker, you know, Minshew will automatically go in. But our bench looks awful. We had a lot of zeros. Kenny Stills got zero. I mean, we have Devonta Freeman on this team. So until he gets signed, he's going to be putting up some zeros. Gronk, our, you know, high-risk, low-floor guy, 4 points. Not great, Jeff, but better times ahead for that team. And better times ahead for all the other teams. Did you put in any waivers, any fab? Because I did, and I got Nyheim Hines, who I really wanted. Just now that we know Marlon Mack's out and Rivers just loves to dump off to the running backs. So I spent 25 on Nyheim Hines. Turns out actually didn't get him. Got him in Raft Pool. Wow. Whoops. So there you go. didn't even get him for the price I needed. Wait, yeah, I did. It says I got him for $35. Oh, I've already put him in. Sorry. I've put him in the lineup already. That's why I don't see him. So Nyheim Hines went for 35 from me. Goddard went for 20. Malcolm Brown went for 25. Benny Snell went for 51. So more than half the budget.
That's who Dave got.
To Dave. But Dave's team definitely needs some running back help. So that's probably why he spent 51. So it looks like you didn't really go for anyone, or did you, and you just didn't get them?
No, I didn't. I didn't really go for anyone. It's interesting, you know. I like the fab. It's definitely decreased the move count. I mean, top people have made five moves, so not a ton of stuff there. A lot of people still with their full budgets. And like you said, Dave's already spent half his budget, which he had to do. He had to make moves. I think we'll get into it in the power rankings, but he needed something. And in Raft Pool, I don't think I did anything either. I think I just let it ride. Did you make any moves in Raft
Pool? Yeah, so I got Hines in both leagues, Raft Pool and the ship, especially Raft Pool where it is a full PPR, so a full point per catch, but it's nice to have him. And I have Rivers in that league as a third quarterback. But those are the only two moves I made. Of course, I re-picked up the Washington football team in the ship because they're going up against the Cardinals. And I think after they play the Browns or someone who they could end up dominating at least the offensive line. So going with my first gut, just going to ride them and stream them until something better comes along. So it's just tough. Jeff, it's tough in a league where, you know, I don't have any injuries, at least in the ship, and I'm not going to put in Hines over Chubb. You know, I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to just ride out my stars and until someone kind of performs more than they should. So I do have Hines in instead of Mark Ingram right now, so that might change by this time on Sunday. So we'll see how that plays out, Jeff. And we'll just look at the roster as a whole and we'll evaluate. You know, we'll evaluate the talent. We'll look at practice. We'll look at the tape. And we'll see if anyone has to come out of that starting lineup.
Do we want to get into what the people come here for? The post week one power ranking?
Oh, yeah. Where do you want to start? Yeah, it's huge. This is huge. Especially with the Raft Pool League, which usually isn't that huge. But we had a lot of controversy. Me and you debating the power rankings last week when you kind of intro'd them, and me and you were just running them through, and you're like, oh, you know what? You know, so-and-so needs to go up, so-and-so needs to go down. But we'll start with the bottom, and that's Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 1 and 2 legend, Scotty. Lowest point total in the league, only team to not break 100. Garoppolo, the top scorer, not great. It is a two-quarterback league, so that's fine. He definitely was hurt, though, from the Kenny Golladay injury to kind of start the season on the wrong foot. We mentioned people like Keenan Allen. I believe Dante Parker got hurt as well. So we'll see how he adjusts and what moves he can make to kind of bring him back into the upper echelon of tiers.
Yeah, number nine, Captain Andrew Luck. Samwise Gamgee's barely broke that 100, got taken down by Prestige Worldwide. You know, Jonathan Taylor, I think he's helped by the Marlon Mack injury, so he'll be in there. He's got Danger Russ, but Michael Thomas, he was hurt, so he's got Derek's team, and we'll talk about Derek's team in a little bit. So he's going to need to do better on the old Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and he'll be able to put Cooper Kupp into the Michael Thomas spot. And yeah, hopefully Cooper Kupp will fare a little better. I mean, that's it. I mean, if we want to go back to like the jitters and the teams that didn't look too well, I mean, both the Rams and the Cowboys are two teams that you would think would look a lot better than they did on Sunday night. Those offenses should shine more, unless those teams' defenses are better than we're giving them credit for, which might be the case for the Cowboys. Maybe they have a little bit better defense than people think.
But Van Der Esch is out now. Great.
Yeah, so of course the Cowboys. Eight, you have Jason's team, a legit team. Mark Ingram, I mean, I guess just – I don't know why you did Ingraham. Like Laura.
I like that.
Like Laura Ingraham. James Conner. I mean, these teams that we're going through right now all have injuries. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Jason's team had James Conner. PP Face somehow, you know, makes the seventh spot. I mean, only scoring 102, eking out a win by 0.8 over Jason. This was our number one darling. No injuries really to speak of on this team. Just a lot of performance that didn't really, you know, come out, with the exception of Deshaun Watson. So barely eking out a win over Jason's team, Jeff.
Yep.
Number six.
Next, we have your number six. We have your team. You know, Kittle didn't show up. But Josh Allen didn't. He ran everywhere like the running back that he is. He still didn't do much as a passer. I guess got it to John Brown at Diggs. You got OBJ there. You got a million Packers running backs, and you happen to have Aaron Jones. You know, there's chance. I mean, you scored 120, which in this league can get you a W some of the time. But you're sitting in fourth in the overall standing, sixth in the power rankings, William.
And look who's right above me. It's you, Prestige Worldwide. You still don't like the team. But, you know, I mean, dude, I mean, I'm just looking at it now, and I don't understand how you don't like it. It's literally every position is filled. And now that Noah Fant's got his breakout, just you're killing the game. Even though you have yourself at fifth, I think you can get up even higher. And let's not let number four get to his head, Greg. I mean, he didn't win, which is great, but you have him in fourth because he put up 146 points. He loved his team, and we had him in 10th.
Yep.
So he really shut us up.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. He's facing off with me this week, so he's going to need another big week from the boys to put up. But, yeah, CMC and Lamar.
I really wish you left that silence, because I said he shut us up, and I really wish we just didn't say anything for 10 seconds. 10 seconds. But he goes up against you next week, the favorite guest versus the favorite host. Number three, Derek's team. Unfortunately, he put up, the second most points in the league? Or let's see. No, he put it on 135. He just happened to go against again. I got a feeling if that's right. Who put up a million points? So Derek's team, good team though, lots of upside, and now he gets to go up against the ninth team, Andrew Luck, next week. So Derek's team probably gonna come, you know, close to a victory if the power rankings are there. But Carson Wentz and Ryan Tannehill are gonna have to perform better than they did, even though they still got 130. Carson Wentz. We'll see how this Eagles team does, Jeff.
Yeah. Number two. Great.
Jose.
Great. I think he was listening when Joe came on and absolutely throttled Jose's team. I mean, the insults and the descriptors that were used. I will never doubt him again. He's into number two up from seven. Devontae Adams, wow. Like we said, 30 touchdown possibility. Clyde Edwards looks great and is going to pay off. And Mark Andrews. And, you know, that's how Jose puts it together. I mean, we zig, he zags, and he zagged himself right into the number two spot. Number one is undeniable, I think,
oh,
Will.
My gosh.
174 points, week one. Statement game from Kyle, picking up the, week one top score prize. So a little Chantilly cream, if you will, in his pocket.
Oh my God.
Aaron Rodgers. Woo. Kyler Murray. Woo. Josh Jacobs. I mean, it is going to be a long season for everyone who faces him. And Jason's team is next up to bat. Kyle projected for a banger of 135. So I got a Thielen. Kyle's team, number one in the power rankings. Other than maybe Derek's, which was the maybe a little bit of a standout. And maybe you think I'm a little too low. Any issues with the power rankings, Billy?
No, I like that you went by score. Like, just traditional. Like, hey, let's look at the scoring for now. Give us a good base off 1 week. As we go through the weeks ahead, we'll get a better feeling, or a better feeling, on players and just what kind of scoring they're going to be doing. So after 1 week, just let's look at who scored the most points, and let's just go from there, because that gives you at least a very good barometer. And, you know, if any past recollection is to be true, then team like Greg's, not to point him out, but management decisions come into play. So we'll see in the coming weeks how much these change. Jeff, we are running short on time. Do we want to tease the power rankings for the ship and just post them on the league message board for those to see, so they can kind of react and give their thinking?
I like that. I like that a lot. We can do that. Just they're coming. Coming to a message board near you. I don't think there'll be any questions about the top. Mm-hmm. I think your Mazdaretti may be the only point of contention. I feel like you put it out into the world. Well, that's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I'm gonna make some more posts. I put our post podcast in a podcast Reddit, but I was going to do it on a fantasy Reddit, but there are some rules there, and I just think I'm going to have to just be like you and try to circumvent the rules and do some illegal stuff and see what I can do to get some hits on there. But again, everybody, thank you for listening to the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Rate, subscribe, download, review, poop, whatever you got to do, Greg. Help us out. You are the co-executive producer, so, you know, put some feelers out there. At ATF Fantasy. allthefeelsfantasy@gmail.com, and stay tuned for some PlayStation news, boys, as Jeff puts it, the PlayStation 6. Peace.
Yeah. Peace out.